Issue that we'll get into is the magic of Torah. The magic of Torah. So we'll see what that means for us. That you can talk about anything with that topic. But we know the Mishnah tells us at the beginning of Peah that we say every morning, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. So the Torah is Keneged, all the other mitzvahs. But if you look in the end of the Torah in Zos Habracha, the Torah is called something unusual. Right, Hashem Misinai Ba, source number two. Hashem is Sinai Ba. Hashem comes from Har Sinai. V'zarach miSeir Lamo, and he shines from Seir. Hofia mehar Paran. Chazal Darshan from this pasuk that Hashem offered the Torah to all the other nations first. Right, then it comes from Seir. It comes from Har Paran. Mimino Eish Das Lamo. Mimino from his right hands, whatever that means, from his right side. Eish Das Lamo. What does Eish Das mean? You've been at Rabbi Sedra for a couple of years, hopefully. And if not, at least this year. Or, what does the word Eish Das mean? Eish Das. Eish fire, Das law. Right? Law of fire. Fire law. The Torah is called Eish Das. Now, what exactly does that mean? Eish Das. So you look at Rashi. Rashi and the Rabban here seem to be somewhat Kabbalistic, but we're going to try to, get a message out of it. Rashi says in source 3, Eish Das, Shaisaksuva me'az lefanav, Torah was written in front of Hashem, be'eish shchor al gabei eish levana, black fire on white fire. What does that mean? Black fire on white fire. Mizrahi says it's like a cloth. It's like some type of Kabbalistic cloth. You'll have ink on a white background. Right, black on white, so that's what the Torah was. The Mizrahi, yesterday we quoted the Gur Aryeh, right? One of the classic commentaries, so today's the Mizrahi. It's even earlier, before the Gur Aryeh, the Mizrahi, the Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi, that's what his name, sometimes he's abbreviated Reish Aleph Mem, Mizrahi. So he quotes, Kemoa Diyoa Shachora Gabi Anior, like black ink on paper, Birishumi Hadashi, a Torah, the Das is the law, is the Torah, Nostro Lama Bluchos Aksubas Miksav Yad Yemino. There's something going on here with black fire on white fire, and what is that? Is there anything that we could take out of that? Again, it sounds pretty Kabbalistic and deep, but what exactly does that mean? The Rabban says, Mimino, from his right, to emphasize that the Torah came straight from Hashem. Not from the Malachim, not from the angels even. The highest level. Right? It comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Mimino, Pirish, Mimin Tafarto, Hayalam Eish Das, Lo Miyada Malachim. Not from the Malachim and his Karim, Rach Miyamin, right? From HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, right. Okay, so what exactly does that mean? Number two, there's usually a difference between a Kri and a Ksiv, right? Kri and a Ksiv, sometimes it says Lamed Aleph and it's spelled Lamed Vav, or the opposite. Kri and Ksiv are usually different. Here there's a Kri and a Ksiv. What's the Kri and the Ksiv? Whether you read it as one word or two words, Eish Das. In the Torah, it's spelled as Eish Das, one word. And the Ksiv and the Kri is Eish Das Lamo. You separate it. What's the significance of that? The fact that every Kri and Ksiv have significance. There is one opinion in the Rishonim that say, you know what Kri and Ksivs are? Because we lost the Mesorah on those letters. So kind of like, we're not sure, so... But generally, we don't assume that way. We assume Kri and Ksivs were given to Moshe Rabbeinu as Kri and Ksivs, and it was passed down. This is how you read it. This is how you write it. Sometimes there's Kri and Ksivs that, the word doesn't even appear. Say for Rus, there's words that don't appear in the cloth, and you read it. Right, that's the Mesorah. Right, so so what exactly is the message of this Kri and Ksiv, which is just separating the word or putting it together? Eish Das. So what is number one? What does Eish Das mean? What does that mean? Black fire on white fire? Question one. Question two, what is, Eish Das? What is that, the Kri and the Ksiv? Question three. And this, I remember, before I heard this thought, years ago, it bothered me for a while. Right? We know there are two parshios in the Torah that talk about Maimon Har Sinai. The two parshios. Yisro and Mishpatim. It's like Maimon Har Sinai, take two. Right, if you look in the... Shmos. A lot of Svarim. We just need Pirush and Kadosh Baruch Hu al Hashas. That's what we're looking for. There's a Zohar.
Okay. There are three Zohars.
Okay, you know what? I'll look at it on my phone. It's fine. I'll be here. Fine. So we have to run. It's fine. I'll get it here. So if you look in the in Parshas Yisro, we have Maamar Har Sinai, right? We have a whole description. I don't need the Mufarshim here. Okay, so we have Perek Yutes in Shmos. Vachodesh Ashlisi Tis Mei Sol Meiris Mitzrayim. They came to Midbar Sinai. Im Shemot Tishmu Bekolish Rather Es Brisi Malchus Koinu Dibar Kadosh. They all say Nase. And Moshe goes up, and the Aseret Hadibros, and we think it's good, and it's all Parshas Yisro. That's my Maamar Har Sinai. But if you look at Mishpatim, at the end of Mishpatim, the following Parsha, Perek Chaf Dalet, there's another version of Maamar Har Sinai. There's another presentation of Maamar Har Sinai. And it's not exactly the same. Remember what that's about? They bring karbanos, and they sprinkle the blood, half on the Mizbeach, half on the Am. What are the two Parshios? It's the same event, but there's two different emphases of that same event. Parshas Yisro and Parshas Mishpatim. And to add, the famous Pasuk of Naaseh V'Nishma is where? It's in Mishpatim, it's not in Yisro. Yisro has a parallel Pasuk, but there it only says Naaseh. And in Mishpatim it says Naaseh V'Nishma. So what's the relationship? I think we spoke about that in the past, a Meshech Chachma thought, which we're not going to do now. But what's the relationship between Naaseh and Naaseh V'Nishma? Why is Naaseh in Yisro and Naaseh V'Nishma is in Mishpatim? And what's the relationship between the two? What's the relationship between the two Parshios and Parshios Yisro? Again, you read over those Parshios. Right? Shavuos, you have to read over Yisro. Right? That's what we lean on Shavuos. So you read over the Parshios. What exactly is the message between Parshios Yisro and Parshas Mishpatim? Okay, so we got the questions. What's Eishdas? What's the Kri and the Ksiv? What are the two fires? What's Parshas Yisro, Parshas Mishpatim? Right? What's Naaseh V'Nishma versus Naaseh? Good. So part one, which we've spoken about in the past, maybe you've heard this discussion, and that is the symbolic nature of the Torah. The Ramban tells us. It starts with the Ramban. It doesn't start with the Ramban. Ramban is gonna flesh it out. The Gemara says in Psachim Daf Nun Dalet, source number 8. Vatanya Shivat Varam Nivra Kodesh Nivra Olam. There were 7 things that were created before the world was created. It's a good 7. I used to give quizzes to my shiur, like when I taught in Reshit. So I used to give quizzes that, you know, like to know the Parshiyos by heart, and know Shas Mishnayos by heart, and you know, now obviously, you know, everybody knows them by heart. Everybody knows Taurus backwards and forwards. Right, but also it was one of the famous sevens. So a sheet with the 7 that what's created every day of creation, and the 7 things created before the world was created, and the 7 mitzvot bnei Noach, and the 7 liquids that are machshir lekabel tuma. Right, all a lot of 7s that one has to know. Sheva saminim. Right, those are all. Maybe we could give out that sheet and focus on it. Anyway, that's a good activity for Shavuos in general. Everybody know the. Parshios, I'm hoping, if not the Parshios, but Shas Mishnah, 63 words. Do a little bit. Learn Zrayim over Shavuos, if you don't know it. Zrayim and Moe, whatever it is. First step in knowing Shas is knowing the names of Shas. Anyway, not for now. So the Gemara says in Psachim Daf Nun Dalet, there were 7 things created before the world was created. What were they? First one on the list, Torah. Torah, Tshuva, Gan Eden, Gehenim. Each of these is symbolic, but Torah is created before the world was created. So that's interesting. Because how could the Torah have existed before the world was created? The Torah says, and this happened. But it didn't happen yet. So how could the Torah have written? The Torah could say it will happen. This is a question that the Rishonim already asked. What does that mean? That the Gemara says that the Torah was written before the and existed before the world was created. Right? The Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu did the Psukim. So the Prakim, fine, were later, but... So what does that mean that the Torah existed before the world was created? So the Ramban quotes an idea, which maybe you've heard before, and that is the Torah can be read on 2 levels. The Torah can be read on the level that we read it. Bereishis, Bara Elokim, Es HaShemayim, Es HaAretz, and and all the events that took place. But then the Torah also could be understood on a more metaphysical level, what's called Shmosav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It could be read on the level of spelling out the name of Hashem. The Ramban says, if you put all the letters of the Torah together, right, not broken up as we have it into the words that we have it, you put all the letters of the Torah together, it could spell out different things. It spells out names of Hashem. Od yesh biyadino kabbalah shel emes. We have a Misora, says the Ramban. Ki kala Torah kula shmosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole Torah spells out the name of Hashem. Shatevos mischalkos l'shemos binyan echad. The words can be split up differently. I'll give you an example, says the Ramban. Kilu tachshav aderach mashal. Ki pasuk bereishis yischalik latevos acheres. Bereishis could be written in different ways. Could go on. Berosh yisbara Elokim. V'chala Torah. If you put all the letters together, the Torah spells out the name of Hashem. That's what existed before the world was created. Not the Torah as we know it. Because it couldn't have said that. It didn't happen. Hashem, it can't lie. And Avraham was sick. And Avraham was old. He wasn't old yet. He wasn't born yet. It didn't say that in the pristine, original, so to speak, state that the Torah was in. When Hashem gave it to Moshe, then he gave it in the broken up way that we have it. But deep down, it spells Hashem Moshe Shalom Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Soloveitchik brought a halachic raya to this idea. There are two Gemaras. Source 11 and Source 12. Source 11. Minayin l'berchas haTorah l'fanem min haTorah. How do you know you're supposed to say berchas haTorah in the morning? Or mitzvah daraisa, according to many. Separate from learning, saying the berchas haTorah in the morning. How do you know that? Shenemar, the pasuk says in Bezos HaBracha. I'm sorry, in Hazinu. Kishem Hashem Ekra Havugod Elokeinu. Someone translate that pasuk for me? Rabbi Yitzchak? No. Right, you're not Yitzchak, right? No, Yitzchak Isaac. Yitzchak Isaac, okay.
When I call out God's name, I will bring greatness.
When I call out God's name, I'll bring greatness to our God. What does that have to do with learning Torah? How is that a source for Birchas HaTorah? When you call out Hashem's name, it should say when you learn Torah. How is that pasuk a makar for Birchas HaTorah when you learn Torah? When I learn Exos, what does that do with Kishem Hashem Ekra? It says Rav Soloveitchik, let me just do another Gemara before we answer. The Gemara in Yuma, Daf Lamed Zayin, the same pasuk teaches me, Kishem Hashem Ekra teaches me that when you hear the name of Hashem from the Kohen Gadol's mouth, you have to bow down. Right? We do a remez, a zecher of that in Shul on Yom Kippur. But that's what the pasuk, the Gemara says in Yuma, Lamed Zayin. Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havogod Elokeinu. Amar Lam Moshe Li Yisrael. Moshe says, "B'shosh ani maskir shemo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu atem avu godel." When I scream out the name of Hashem, ascribe greatness. And the context there is bowing down, and not just Moshe. When the Kohen Gadol says "Shem Hashem," answer of Soloveitchik, how could the same pasuk teach me two different things? Kishem Hashem Ekra teaches me you have to bow down when you hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, and it teaches me when you learn Torah you have to say a bracha before you learn Torah. Right? You can't learn two different things from the one pasuk. What's the answer? It's the same din. It's not different dinim. Right? Because Torah is Shem Hashem on a deeper level. Kol HaTorah Kula, Shemot Sof Shalak HaKadosh Baruch. The Torah spells out the Shem Hashem, and that's Torah, and that's Berachas Torah. It's the same din. The same halacha that we have. We even say it each morning. We just don't think about it. Right? We say it in the HaRevna. HaRevna HaKadosh Yisrael Yisrael Sofinu, V'yam Chav Yisrael. V'ni anachnu v'tzetzeinu v'tzetzeinu kulanu yodei shemecha v'lomdei sarasecha. We daven in the Birchas Torah to know your name. What does that mean, know your name? And learn your Torah, because the Torah is the name of Hashem on some deeper level. Yodei shemecha v'lomdei sarasecha. And just to finish this section, this is an unbelievable thought. Again, we could have a whole shiur on this, which we're not going to. But the Gemara Menachas talks about, it's a Gemara that appears in two places. I gave it to you, Menachas Daf Lamed. Who wrote the last eight psukim of the Torah? Whenever you have a machlokes, you always say, okay, what's the pashup shot and what's the chiddush? Who's the more pashut answer? This is one of those few machlokos that I have no idea which is more pashut and which is more mechudish, because they're both huge chidushim. And I don't know which one is simpler to say. If I were to ask you who wrote the last eight psukim of the Torah, what would you say? Who wrote the last eight psukim of the Torah?
Moshe.
You would say Moshe. Maybe you say Moshe because Moshe wrote the whole Torah. The problem is it says, and Moshe died. And Moshe died. How could Moshe write Moshe died if he didn't die? Right? That's a lie. And he will die, but it doesn't say that. It says, and he died. So how can Moshe write that? But how can Moshe not write part of the Torah? Right, what's the other option? Yoshua. So that's a machlokas tanoim. That's unbelievable. It's pashas, a historical machlokas. Who wrote the last eight psukim of the Torah? It's here in Menachas Daf Lamed. It's also in Baba Basra. If you don't learn Baba Basra, it's the Gemara there. It says, "Vayam Hashem Moshe Eved Hashem." Efshar Moshe Chai because of Yashem Hashem Moshe. It's a pashma that Moshe lives. Moshe was living, and it says Moshe died. Ela Ad Kan Kasav Moshe. No, up until those last eight psukim Moshe wrote, the Kanvei Lekasav Yeshua Ben Nun. Rabbi Yehuda says the last eight psukim were written by Yeshua Ben Nun because Moshe can't write. Moshe died. Right? Amar Lo Reb Shimon. Rav Shmuel Yochai says, that can't be. Efter Sefer Torah Chaser Osachas, could a Torah have one letter not written by Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu is Torah, we call this Torah's Moshe. No. Moshe wrote it. He just wrote it Bidema. Bidema? Rashi says Bidema means? In tears. He wrote it in tears. So ask the Velt, ask everyone, what does that mean? And how does that help? It's still wrong. He was crying when he wrote it because he was upset that he was going to die. But it's still a lie. He couldn't write it. And he died. Who cares that he wrote it bedema, in tears? So the Gra says maybe bedema has a different shot. If you never heard this Gra, it's a blow your mind Gra. Heard this a couple of decades ago, and it's still one of the most unreal Gras. So the Gra says, they say somebody said it before the Gra also. I know it from the Gra. Right? Source number 15. The Gra says, we have the word, the Shorish Dema, in a totally different area of Halacha, and that's in Hilchas Zra'im. We have the concept of Medume. What's Medume? What does Medume mean? A mixture. If Truma falls into Chulin, and it's not enough to be Mevatalit, it's called Medume. It's mixed up. Says the Gra, that's what it means. Moshe wrote a bedema, not tears. He wrote it in a mixed up state. What does that mean? Moshe gave the whole Torah, Hashem gave the whole Torah to Moshe up until the last eight psukim in its interpreted, already split into psukim state. So we understand it and get as we understand it now. Bereishis bara Elokim et hashamayim, the last eight psukim, Hashem did not decode. He gave it to Moshe in the way that it existed before the world was created, in its Shem Hashem understanding. So it didn't say Vayam Hashem Moshe Eved Hashem. All the letters were still together, and it spelled out Shem Hashem in its natural state. That's what it means, Bedema. It was in its mixed up state. Moshe wrote it in the mixed up state. Afterwards, Yeshua Ben Nun decoded it, and Hashem told Yeshua how to split up the words. But says the Gra, that's Medume. Moshe wrote it Medume. So you see, the Gra says that the mixed up state, that natural state of Shemosu Shalach Kodesh Baruch Hu, is how Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah of those last eight. Right? The Gra quotes this idea that this is how the Torah existed before the world was created. Line 12: V'yachas Shabar Hashem Yisbarach Es Haolam V'nasan Es Torah LiYisrael. After Hashem created the world and gave the Torah, V'simav B'mitzvos, and surrounded them with mitzvos that tzrichen la'asos gvulei amakom b'chulu, then he explained it as us. So it's a beautiful idea. Shmosef Shalach Kodesh Baruch Hu, that explains Birchas HaTorah, that explains the Gra. But we don't have it nowadays like that. So is that just history? Is there any importance to that concept? So it seems like there is an importance to the concept. And we're going to have to talk about why. If you look in the next source, the Mabit, the Beis Elokim. Beis Elokim is a sefer written by the Mabit. We have two svarim by the Mabit. We have Chuvas Mabit, but besides that, we have, what's the Mabit svarim called? Beis Elokim is his Machshava sefer. There's three parts. One about Chuva, one about Yesodos, and then he also wrote the Kiryat Sefer. can't say for his commentary on the Rambam. He was a contemporary of Rabbi Yosef Cairo. He lived in Tzfat, along with Rabbi Yosef Cairo, 1500s. So they both wrote commentaries on the Rambam. The Kesef Mishnah made it. Kiryat Sefer, you know, wasn't as accepted by Klal Yisrael. But anyway, in his Sefer, in Shar HaYisodos 16, he says, you know, when Klal Yisrael, like the Gemara says in Shabbos, remember when Klal Yisrael heard the first couple of Dibros, they died. And Hashem had to do Tchiasam Esim, and then we died again, Tchiasam Esim. Why did we die? Okay, we heard straight from Hashem. Says them a bit, you know why? Because Hashem first told us the Torah in its Shem Hashem state. Not the way that we have it. Says the Mabit. He says, Ki HaTorah kula mi breishis atleini kol Yisrael, the entire Torah, hu mekubal atleinu. Ki ha'isa stura lefan av Yisbarach. It existed in front of Hashem. Kodem shenivra olam, apayim shana, 2,000 years before the world was created. It's hard to say that because there was no time then. So you can't say like how much time. Hashem created time. So how long before the world was created did the Torah exist? We don't have the words to express it. Because we're beings that live in time, and we can't understand what it means to be outside of time. Okay. The nearest I seksuba lafan of Yisbarach O Samach Lo Shalachareha. All the letters were squished together. Mi beis brachus ad lamed leini kol Yisrael. B'liyafsek tevos aparshios. All the letters were together. Kula ksiva echad. All together, and it's spelled out Shem Hashem. Line 10. Ulezeh kishabak adish baruch ulitin Torah li Yisrael. And when Hashem wanted to give us the Torah, Ratza lahashmiim, before he gave us the Aseret Dibros, he said over the Torah in that state, in the Shem Hashem state. And then he gave us the Aseret Dibros in the way that we have it. So you see, there's a message here. As if on Maimon Har Sinai, Hashem wanted to give us the message of the Torah being in that state. And again, we ask, what's sounds very Kabbalistic, if sounds very deep, like what's the message for us? We're almost up to the answer. Yeah.
Why would they kill him? Because it was
fun. That's a good question. Maybe it was too intense. It's natural Torah, right? It's Torah in its most intense, pure state, not diluted for humanity, right? We have that Torah diluted today for humanity, but in the Torah, in the natural state, right? So then we couldn't handle it. But there's one more hint. Is there any hint in the Torah to this? Now that it's given to us, it's split up. Even the last eight psukim, according to the right, split up now. Is there any hint in the Torah about the Shem Hashem concept? That we know still that, you know, we have this, you know, this concept? So there is an amazing ha'ara of the Be'er Yosef. Be'er Yosef is of Yosef Misalant in Source 17. He says, maybe that's Eishdas. Right, it's the only Kriyin Ksiv that we have. Right, why are those two letters together? We read it as two separate things, Eishdas. But it's written Eishdas. Maybe that's a remez. That's a hint to us to the way it used to be. That's a description of the Torah on fire. Right, so that's Hashem left that dafka as the Ksiv. So that we could remember and we could connect to that original state, right, as the Torah was. But yes, what do you need this for? So he says there in 17, L'chin al kavanazu b'ha misora, v'aksiv, l'chtov eish das b'milo v'teva achaz. It's written as one, l'horos al azman shemeyaz, to remind us what it used to be when all the letters were all together. Shoy seksuva b'eish shchor agab eish levana, when it was fire. When it was written all together without any separation of words. We read it as two because we read it as human beings as it came to us. Eish das. L'krosa nifredes l'fi ha'torah v'mitzvah. But it's put together there to remind us that there is such a reality of the Torah existing in that state. And even halacha lamaisa, and then after this was all background, then we're going to get to the message and how to bring this down to our lives. There's a great tshuva of the Radvaz. Also, same time period, 1500s. Source 18. The Radvaz asks, Sha'alti mimeni, Right? We think nowadays, you know, Balkari's having a tough time is a new thing. No, 500 years ago also. There's a Balkari, they asked Radvaz, why can't they put Nekudos in the Torah? Why does that have to be so hard? Why can't they put Nekudos and Trup and all good things? Sha'alta da'it mimeni, odiach da'iti, lama in kosvena nekuda b'sefer Torah. Why don't we have Nekudos in vowels? Kivan sha'kol nasal Moshe Rabbeinu v'sham Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu also gave us the Trup, the Gemara says, the Ta'amim that came from Moshe. V'gam ha'ta'amim ha'yiruim sheikh t'vosam. Klisha yikra ha'kori kriya yishara, so that the Balkori can go straight. No mistakes. Beli shibush. Imagine. Right? You know, we have to make sure that we get hana in the right place in life. You know, there are those guys that, like, their greatest hana is to, like, correct the Balkori. You know, there are some guys in shul, like, that's what they live for. They're like, they're medakdek, and like, they have to be the first one to call out. I try never to call out. Like, even if the guy, I'll let somebody else, you know, I try not to, somebody skips it, somebody else will catch it. We announce in our shul, like when there's a bar mitzvah or anything, only the gabay sheni. Because half the people that call out, they're correcting something that didn't have to be corrected. You know, Mitzrayim and Mitzrayim, you know, whatever it is. But, you know, it's terrible. Like sometimes you see, like, oh! And they look around. I got it. But we have to not be those guys, right? We don't need to be those guys. But ask the Radvaz, why can't you put the Nekudos in the Torah? Why can't you put the Nekudos? So says the Radvaz, so beautiful. Because if you put Nekudos or Trup in the Torah, then you are going to limit and minimize the way we understand the Torah. We understand the Torah on 45 different, like 70 different levels. Shivim Panim LaTorah. What the word says, this, no, it doesn't say that. It can be read Yireh or Yeraeh. So by not putting anything into the Torah, anything else besides the letters, because the letters are there from before, that has to be there. And we split them up as we split them up. But says the Ravaz, it leaves open the possibility of understanding it on so many different levels. Wow. Right, and he says, the continuation, so you can have a kriya ruchanit v'gashmit. We have a kriya gashmis, and we know how to read it. But if you look in the Torah itself, there's other ways to understand. He says, v'hadar v'yadua, see on line 14, ki osios below nekudos uta'amim, letters without nekudos, without dots. Yesh bahem mashmo yos harbe. It has many different meanings. V'tzirufim shonim, and different ways to put them together. V'krios hefchios, and opposite understandings. L'chein lo ninu ha'nekudos v'ta'amim. L'kasei b'sefer Torah, that's why it's not in the Torah. V'kasei b'chumashim mishum eislas l'shem. You put it in the Chumash because, you know what, we're not going to know how to read, so you have to know how to read in the Chumash. But he says that's what, and he continues with that idea. But it's kind of, it's a little bit eternalizing that original state. It doesn't have the letters all together, but at least no nekudos, at least not limiting it in that way. This is the concept of Shmos Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Torah is written on such a deep level, and the Mabit says, Maamar Har Sinai had that at the beginning of it. So now we get back to our earlier questions, and we ask again, what does this idea do for me? What do I need this idea that the Torah could be understood on, not just the level that I understand it, the words that I understand, but there's a deeper level of the Torah? So I heard a number of years ago from Rabbi Yonason Sachs, so Shiva in Landers, he was my 11th grade Rebbe. He says maybe, and here's the Yisod, maybe a Sefer Torah has two functions. And maybe the experience of Maamar Har Sinai had two functions for us. Number one, a Sefer Torah is a Sefer HaMitzvos. It's a book of laws. Tayag Mitzvos. We learn out from every pasuk, we're medayik. It's a book of mitzvos. The Torah is a book of mitzvos. Sefer HaMitzvos, right? The Gemara in Maseches Makos. I don't think anybody's here yet in Bikias, source 19. There's another, by the way, there's another, she was going to give, there's a bunch of people that did not take it, and they encourage next week, I think the end of next week, Thursday, if anybody could please, you want a chazavrit and take it on the first two prakim, Shiva would love to have more, and Kodesh Baruch Hu would love to have more people, you know, take the Pekiyas test. So if you want to take it next week, to give you another time. Anyway, so the Gemara Makas Daf Chaf Gimel quotes Darash Rav Simloi Sheish Meos Shlosha Esrei Mitzvot Nemlo LeMoshe. We know 613 mitzvahs that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Shlosh Meos Shishim V'Chamis 365 Los Aseis 248 Aseis Keneged Evarav Shel Adam. So the Sefer Torah is a Sefer HaMitzvos. It's a book of laws. It's a book that tells us what to do. Right? That is definitely one huge, but half, as we'll see, function of a Sefer Torah. And function of Har Sinai. Har Sinai was the moment. Sefer Torah is a Sefer HaMitzvos, and it was also the moment that our mitzvos started. It was the moment that our mitzvos started. How do we know that our mitzvah started? Okay, Pashup Shat. But there's a Rambam that is definitional, top five Rambams in Pirushim Mishnayos. Source 20, where the Rambam says, listen to what I'm going to tell you. The Rambam never says that. The Rambam says, listen to what I'm going to tell you. Like the greatest basketball player giving you the secret. I'm going to give you the secret right now. Right, Lahavdil. Right, listen to what I'm going to tell you. I'm not even going to like say who the best basketball player is, because now there might be machlokas about that. But anyway, the Rambam is commenting on a Mishnah in Chulin, which doesn't seem so exciting on the surface, but once you see this Rambam, you're like, wow. The Mishnah there has a machlokas tanoim. If I eat the gid hanoshe of a non-kosher animal, if I eat the gid hanoshe of a horse, how many averas do I get? Right, do I get one or two? What? I mean, I definitely get the avir of eating not kosher. I'm eating horse. But what about gid hanasha of a horse? Right, that gets into the issue of ain iser chalal iser. Once something is usher, you can't become more usher. It's already usher to you. Ain iser chalal iser. That's a machlokas. That's a machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda says you get two averas. Rabbi Yehuda says if you eat the sciatic nerve, the gid hanasha of a horse, you get two averas. Not kosher and gid hanasha. And the chum say, no, one avera. Ein iser chalal iser. It's already aser mishum horse. It's not aser mishum get anasha. Excellent. So there is an exception. The Gemara talks about that. There is an exception to the rule of ein iser chalal iser called iser basachas. If they're both chalal at the same, so the Gemara talks about it, right? Maybe when it's born, does it have it the status yet? But either way, Rabbi Yehuda says, "I'll bring you a proof that get anasha applies to non kosher animals. I'll bring you a proof." Parshas Vayishlach. That's where the source for Gidanasha is. Right? It says the Alkein lo yochol b'nei Yisrael Gidanasha. The brothers ate horse. At least they were allowed to eat horse. Okay, did the brothers do all the mitzvahs before they was given? Okay, but the brothers were allowed to eat horse, but they weren't allowed to eat the Gidanasha. So you see, the Isser of Gidanasha applies to non-kosher animals. Because the brothers had an Isser to eat Gidanasha. The Shvatim. Says Rabbi Yehuda, how's that for a raya? That proves that Gidanasha applies to non-kosher animals. The Rabbanan say back, the Chum say, no, that's not a good raya. Why? B'sinai ne'mar, ela shenechtav bimkomo. That's the language of the Rabbanan, answering Rabbi Yehuda. It was said at Har Sinai, but it was written in its place. What does that mean? Machlokas Rashi Rambam. Rashi has an unbelievable pshat. You can look there, Chulin Daf Kuf. Chulin Daf Kuf, Rashi quotes that maybe it wasn't usher. That pasuk was put in later. The brothers ate Gid Hanasha. If you read the Pesukim in Vayishlach, it kind of sounds like the narrator talking all of a sudden. Al Kain lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael as Gid Hanasha ad hayom hazeh. Rashi says that pasuk did not exist. The brothers ate Gid Hanasha. It was put in later when Hashem gave Moshe the Torah. He put that pasuk back next to the story that it commemorates. That's Rashi. Meaning the brothers, the Chacham say back to the Rabbi Yehuda, you're wrong, historically. Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam says, no, it was usher for the brothers, but that has nothing to do with us. Because our halachic Mesorah starts at Har Sinai. Don't bring me rayas from beforehand, because that has nothing to do with our national obligation. The source of our halachic Mesorah, why we do everything in life, is because of what happened tomorrow night, Maimon Har Sinai. Right, the Rambam says in Source 20, Simlibcha l'kala gadol azeh, listen to this principle that I'm telling you. V'ata shesarach ladas, shekol ma'ashanu nisar mimenu, o'osim oso ayom, everything that we do or don't do today, ein anum osim zos elim ibnei, tzivu yashem edei Moshe. You know why we do it or don't do it? Because Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Lo mipnei. Why do we do bris mila? Oh, because Avram did bris mila? No. Because Moshe Rabbeinu told us to do bris mila. And he's mechalik here between the history of a mitzvah and the reason a mitzvah is obligatory upon us. What? That's where it might come from. Yes, yes. That lashon is the same idea. Rambam quotes that lashon. Zigurin Shabbos. Nitna Torah. Duk malakach. Ein noach lemei v'nachai. Why don't we eat every menachai? Lo mibnei shashem asra b'nei noach. Not because b'nei noach didn't eat every menachai. Because Moshe told us. Bris mila everything. And he says, I'll bring you a proof. What does Chazal say? We got 613 at Har Sinai. It doesn't say we got 606 with 7 from before. We got 613 at Har Sinai. Because all the things from before had to be re-given. Because Har Sinai is the source of our halachic misora, our taryag mitzvahs. So that is all one aspect of a sefer Torah and the experience of Har Sinai. Sefer Torah is a sefer ha-mitzvahs, and Maimon Har Sinai created that chiyuv ha-mitzvahs for us. But, and here's the chiddush, but there's a totally separate symbolism and message. A sefer Torah is not only a sefer ha-mitzvahs, it's a sefer ha-bris. It's a covenant. It's an agreement. It's an agreement between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael. Not so much about what we should do, but who we are. A Sefer Torah is about who we are, not just what we should do. And that's Maimon Har Sinai as well. Right, the Rambam tells us. I gave it to you earlier. But in Dafke and Mishpatim, the Torah is called the Sefer HaBris. Take the Sefer HaBris. Doesn't say that in Yisrael. Right, back in source number 6. Vayikach Sefer HaBris, Vayikach Nasa Benishma. The Rambam says in Hilchos Yisurei Biyah, we learn the laws of Geirus, of conversion, from Maimon Har Sinai. Right, just like, right, we Vechein L'Doros. Why? What happened at Har Sinai? It wasn't just that we got a bunch of laws. But we entered a covenant. We entered a bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? And that's a totally separate idea. Right? Sefer HaBris. A Sefer Torah is a Sefer HaMitzvahs. A Sefer about what to do, but it's also a Sefer HaBris about who we are. And that's the difference between Yisro and Mishpatim. Yisro, Aseres HaDibros, Taryag mitzvos. What did we say? What was the pasuk we said? Nah, I said we're going to do it. It's about doing the mitzvos. Mishpatim. That's not about sefer ha-mitzvos. That's about sefer ha-bris. And what happens there? No, there's no aseret dibros in mishpatim. It's just about sprinkling blood over here, over there, because it's about creating the covenant. And that's why it's called sefer ha-bris. We accepted to be avdei Hashem. I mentioned this Beis Halevi in other shiurim in source 22. Remember this Beis Halevi? Beis Halevi asks on Maimon Har Sinai, how did that have halachic effect? Right, the Rambam tells us that you can't obligate yourself to a davar she'eino katsuf. Right? I hereby go to you and say, you know, I obligate myself to pay you whatever you want. I owe you whatever you say. How much do I owe you? Zero. That's not hodos bal din. Because I didn't obligate myself to anything. If I say I hereby obligate myself to pay you $100 trillion, then I obligate. That's what Dos Baldin, I have to. But you can't obligate yourself to something that's not katsuf, that's not definite. So ask the Beis Halevi, so how did Nasa Benishma work? We'll do it. What do we do? Whatever you say. How is that obligation binding? Right? Assuming that Hashem has to hold to halacha. Right? Assuming that, how is that obligation binding if it was not katsuf? Right? It was a davar she'eino katsuf, so how is it binding? That's the Beis Halevi's kasha. Says the Beis Halevi in source 22. Yadua das haramba. Da mechayev atzva v'dar she'eino katsuv lo chala lo v'chiv ashi b'klal. If you obligate yourself to something that's not definite, it doesn't work. So had nasa v'nishma work. Third line. Yisrael shekivu al atzva v'chiv kodem she'idu apratim. Hey chala le v'chiv. How is it chal? Explains the Beis Halevi, no, we're misunderstanding. Maimon Har Sinai was not just about we accept to do this A, B, C, D. No, we didn't accept to do anything. They accepted to be Avdei Hashem. They accepted to enter a covenant, a bris with Hashem. Each of our neshamas were there. That's what we accepted to do. We accepted to enter into a covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once we are his avadim, then Bemele, he can tell us whatever he wants. That works. You could accept to be an eved of somebody. You could accept to be a poel of somebody. So he says, the mechayev atzmari ikra kabbalah hu chiyev aval etzem gufa lo hikna lachaveiro vachiyev harei eni yodu alo veino katsuv. If you obligate yourself, aval hamocher atzmo le'eved enam chalav shum chiyev. If I make myself do an eved, there's no obligation. I am just entering the covenant and becoming an eved Hashem. That's what happened. That's the Sefer Habris, says the Beis Halevi. And there, that's where naseh v'nishma. That's where it's not just doing, because what is nishma? Accepting, right? You hear something. You ever arguing with your chavrusa? And say, oh, I hear it. I hear it now. What do you mean you hear it now? You heard it 5 minutes ago. What does that mean? You're arguing, and then after 10 minutes, oh, I hear it. Now I hear it. Wait, now you hear it. Because hear can mean hearing, but hear also can mean accepting. So nasa v'nishma, they accepted the Sefer HaBris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those are the two parshios. So a Sefer Torah is both the Sefer HaMitzvos and a Sefer HaBris. And that's Yisro and Mishpatim. Because Mamar HaSinai was both a moment that we accepted to do all the mitzvahs, right? That's right. The Rambam, the source of our halachic Masorah, and it was also Sefer HaBris. It's one final point, which is interesting. There is a Machlokes Rishonim, which came first, Yisro or Mishpatim. Rashi is very comfortable to say, Ein muktam amuchar b'Torah. Rashi says that, and the Rabban tries not to say that ever, unless he has to. So Rashi says that Mishpatim took place before Yisro. And the Rabban says, no, Yisro took place before Mishpatim. It's a machlokas, you have it in there in the two last sources. So somebody explain to me, why would Rashi say that? Why would Rashi say that? Rashi, sometimes, there's a svara, where Rashi says that the Egel took place before the Mishkan. Because the Mishkan is a kapara for the Egel. So you have to say, Kisisa took place before Shumat Desavim. That's what Rashi says. And Rabban says, no, it went straight. Don't change the order. So there's always a reason why Rashi would change something. Why would Rashi change something here? Why would he want to say that Mishpatim came before Yisro? Because maybe the safer, you have to have the agreement before you get to all the mitzvahs. First is the Sefer HaBris. First is the Kav. They're bound together. Once they have Nasa v'Nishma, once they're bound together, once they accept, then, okay, what do we have to do? That's Rashi. But maybe the Ramban, right, the Ramban is saying, no. First show me if you do the mitzvahs. If you could accept the mitzvahs, then we'll be in the covenant. I don't need covenants if you're not doing the mitzvahs. Except to do the mitzvahs, and then we'll talk covenant. So we can understand each one. But maybe, let's go back now, maybe that's the mabit, the Beis Elokin, maybe that's why Hashem wanted us to hear that Shmosef Shalach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A Sefer Torah isn't just about mitzvahs, about our understanding. It's a covenant between us and Hashem, and that covenant connects to the deeper level of the Torah. Or the deeper level of a Sefer Torah. It's not just about what to do, but who we are and who we're connecting to. So at Har Sinai, we had to hear it all in its natural state also. And maybe that's, getting all the way back to the beginning, the black fire and the white fire, the two aspects, one on the other, because maybe these two fires are the two symbols of what a Torah is. It's, again, Sefer HaMitzvos, it's a book of laws and a book of life. It's a book that tells you what to do, and it's a book that tells us who we are. It's two different messages. But that's what we celebrate on Shavuos. We celebrate that we get to do mitzvahs, but we also celebrate that we're married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? It's called by Chazal Yom Chasunasa. Yom Chasunasa is Zema and Torah, right? The Mishnah at the end of Tainus. Yom Chasunasa. So you have to recognize that this is the wedding, this is the message, this is the double aspect of Kabbalah Satorah. The double aspect. Some say, I'll just end with this, what do we say in Bayah? One of the classic questions that's asked in every Haggadah. If Hashem would have brought us to Har Sinai and not given us the Torah, Dayenu. Everybody says, oh, what does that mean, Dayenu? So the most popular answer is, Achtos. If we would have had the Achtos without the Torah, it would have been amazing. Wonderful. Beautiful answer. But according to this, maybe the idea would be, if you would have brought us to the Torah, to the Har Sinai, and made a bris with us, even without giving us the rest of the mitzvahs, Dayenu, to have an agreement with Hashem, that, you know, it wasn't going to be, because Hashem would say, you can't have an agreement without obligations. You know, that's not called an agreement. An agreement means you have obligations, right? Agreement in a marriage, there are obligations. Agreement in any business, there are obligations that you have. Agreement between an employer and an employee, there are obligations, right? So that's what the what the marriage is about, and that could be another shot of Dayenu. But either way, this is two aspects of Kabbalah Satorah, two aspects of a safer Torah. When we see a safer Torah, right, we could think safer our mitzvahs and safer our bris. Safer our mitzvahs, how we understand it. Safer our bris in its deeper level, of the Shmos HaShel HaKadosh Baruch Hu level. That's the safer our bris, that we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah in a deeper way. Okay, so that is all this topic, magic of the Torah. Oh, we're not going to meet tomorrow, so I do have a parsha shir. It is, you're going to read, right, Harry? You're going to have a very long laning on Shabbos. You're going to hear Nusso too. So everybody just take a Nusso. What? You can't. Yeah, this one you'll have to wait. Send Shavuos this week. Send Shavuos this week, and then next week you can send Nusso. Be a week ahead. So just say one. I'm point out to you. I'm not going to do this one here. But if you just look at, if you look in source number 7, Rabbi Norman Lamb, right? He was the president of the Yeshiva University. He was unbelievable. One of the best speakers I've ever heard. Him and Rabbi Sachs, they're close. So he has his drushes printed, Drusha Ladoros, 5 volumes of his drushes that he gave in his 25 years in the rabbinate. Before he had 25 years as the president of the university, he was the rabbi of a shul on the Upper West Side, the Jewish Center. So what's amazing is that they publish his drushes, which themselves are unbelievable, but they also give the date that he gave the drusha. And it's amazing because, you know, it's the timeless. So this drusha in source number 7, 8, and 9, June 10th, 1967. Right? The Six-Day War ended on this day. So he gave a drusha relating to the Parsha, right? 3 long lessons from 1 short war. He was always machped to have a title for the drusha. I remember we met with him. When I was in Smicha, every Thursday we had lunch with him and a special guest. So he was always machped, first of all, to take the drusha. He was very, you know, like, nowadays, he says, people give varts. He says, you have to have a drusha. You have to have a sermon. He was very old school. You know, just have a, has to, because, and again, some people in his shul, that this was the only learning they did the whole week, but he always, you have to have a title, you have to have a, anyway, he was very big on drushas. Which one should be. Anyway, so that's in source number 7, 8, and 9. Read at some point. It's amazing. And it's just as strong today as it could be any other day. But something I never saw before. So Rabbi Fran talks about this in... There's a great gra on the back page. But Rabbi Fran talks about this in source 11. You can write this one down. Right, there's a... you can write the... it's there in the English, but I'll tell it to you. There is... You can start off with a question. He ends off with this, but I'm going to start off with this. Right, there's a medrash, right? Remember by Yosef? Yosef sends wagons to his father. Remember he sends wagons to his father in Parshas Vayigash? And right when Yaakov saw the wagons, his spirit was revived. Wow, the wagons. So it's a very famous Rashi. Right, what does Rashi say? Right, he remembers Egla Rufa, the last topic that they were talking about. Egli, switch around the Nekudos. Egla, Gala, good. So that gave him chizik. But there's a, what does he quote? There's a Targum Yonasan. No, it's Das Akenim. Das Akenim is one of the Balei HaTosfos. Das Akenim says, a different shot. He saw the Agalos, saw the wagons, and Yaakov saw the wagons that the Nisim were going to bring all their Karbanos on in Parshas Naso. You know, every Nasi brought every Karban. So he saw the wagons that they brought that, and his spirit was revived. How is that so exciting? I got Rufa, okay. That even requires elaboration. But what do you mean the wagons that he saw from the Nisim? So Rabbi Fran quotes here. I don't know who he's quoting. But it's amazing. You look at the Pesukim, you'll see it. You know, every Shevet had their Nasi bring Karbanos, and every Nasi brought their Karban. So basically there were 12 of everything. There were 12 silver cups, and there were 12 goblets, and there was 12 this. And there was 12 of everything. It all was brought on 6 wagons. Look at the psukim. 6 wagons. See, that's from my friend. I don't think he quotes anybody. He says, why? What's 6 wagons? Why not 12 wagons? Everybody brought their own stuff. What they had to, get a tramp. You know, let's share. They had to carpool. They had a carpool to the Mizbeach. Right, why 6? So he explains, because the Nesiim, everybody brought their own. It could lead to, okay, this is me, that's you. We're all doing our own thing. Nothing bound them. They were all separate every single day. Except the wagons. The wagons they shared. The symbol of 6 wagons and not 12 meant that they're all separate shvatim, but they're all connected. The Das Akenim says, Yaakov Avinu saw the wagons. How did that calm him? Yosef is revealing himself. You know what Yaakov's thinking? Great, maybe we're going to go back to what was. They're going to hate his brother. They're going to think he's going to take revenge. Yosef, who knows if they're going to get back together? Who knows if they're going to love each other? Maybe they'll still be jealous of him. Now he's the king. Yosef sends him wagons, which reminds him of the Achdus. You know, we're going to share. We're going to work this out. I never saw that Daskena before. I thought it was beautiful. Right? That the this idea that he quotes from, about the Nesiim. So this is Parshanasso. Right? Parshanasso, the Nesiim, and the wagons. That is one. There's some other great, Parshanasso stuff, but you have some... here and Shavuos related. Yeah, no, let me just end with one thing. I think I probably told you this before, but it's one of my favorite. I think it's from Rav Bunin. Rav Bunin from Parshishcha. I think it's Rav Bunin. That he says, right, Nasa Benishmash. Right, this you could send back. This you could send back, or any. You can send any that we're going back. Right. Ask Rav Bunin, how do they say Nasa Benishma, Lashon Rabim? Nasa. How do I know what the other guy was thinking? Esav Eshma. I'll do it. I'll take it, Hashem. Esav. How do they say Nasav Eshma? We'll take it. How did they know what everybody else was thinking? So he gives a mashal. He says, imagine there are a bunch of guys. There are 10 guys in jail. And all of a sudden, the jail of the warden, the shomer, said, I'm not going to bring water today. I'm not going to bring any water today. One day. 2 days. 3. A week goes by. He doesn't bring them water. After a week, he comes in with this big, huge thing of water. Who wants water? What's their answer? I'm not sure about the other guy, but I'm really thirsty. I'll take some. No. After a week of that water, what do they say? Yes, we want water. We want, we're thirsty. It's so clear that it's like obvious. Yes, we'll take it. We'll take it. By Nasa Benishma, there was such clarity of this is what we need to do, and this is the purpose of creation, and this is the purpose of Am Yisrael. Nasa Benishma. It wasn't a doubt. It wasn't a doubt. So that's how clear it is, and that's what we hope for. We hope for that clarity. Because if it's so clear to us, then life will be much easier. Right? And we won't have any challenges, and we won't have any sfeikus. So let's try to daven. We could daven on Shavuos for clarity in Avodas Hashem. And clarity for Kabbalah Satorah. Right? This is the year to do it. This is the year that you need to take advantage of your Shavuos. Right, your years in yeshiva, you know, when you get back, there's other stuff going on, you're exhausted, you're going to be in school, work. This is the year. You're spending 2 solid days with friends learning Torah. Got to, take advantage and daven. And daven for HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Siyata Deshmaya in learning and Siyata Deshmaya in clarity of Avodas Hashem. So everybody should have an amazing, wonderful Yantif. And Chag Sameach and enjoy being around the Chevra. Shkoyach. Okay, we'll stop here.